This episode of WDW Today is brought to you, as always, for this year, by Off to Neverland Travel. If you're planning your next vacation and you need some help, they're going to make sure you have a great vacation, make sure that everything is planned out to the T. You don't have to worry about anything. You have to use their concierge service over at Off to Neverland Travel. It's great. All you do is contact one of their magic makers. Their website, gotoneverland.com, and be part of the Off to Neverland family. You can actually even become a magic maker yourself. Lots of ways you can do that. Website again, gotoneverland.com, as Will likes to say.
All you gotta do is pack, pack, pack.
Will's like getting it out of him, you know, so because we have like what? We're probably how many weeks from the end of the year? Who knows if they're back next year?
52.
We're 52 weeks till the end of the year?
Yep.
Okay, so we got a long time we could
say. Fiscal year.
Fiscal year. We just started our fiscal year. This is when the change of direction. Either way. All right, that's gonna do it. That's not gonna do it for the show. Now on with the show. Gotoneverland.com.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, August 10th, 2016, and this is episode 1525 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And today, we're gonna talk about some other things. We're going to have on a guest a little bit later, Tom Amin, who you may have heard on this show a couple years back. And if you haven't, stay tuned. You'll hear about him. He kind of makes some of the podcast rounds. But a good guy. He wanted to come on and promote his new record, and that's absolutely fine with us. But instead of just interviewing him, talking about his music, we want to actually talk a little bit, go a little broader, and go, Terry brought up this idea of experiencing Disney and the Disney parks when you're not there, and best ways you can do that. So since Terry came up with the idea, I'll let him kind of take the lead a little bit.
Well, you know, like other podcasts in the Disney community where they're based in Orlando, we're not. So, you know, we can't pull a big fat panda and just go to the parks for the afternoon. We kind of have to make do.
Right.
So, you know.
When I just heard you can't pull a big fat panda, my head went somewhere totally different. I was expecting like
out of thin air?
Right.
Yeah. Like a rabbit out of the hat?
Right. We can't pull a big fat panda out of the air. For people that don't know what that is, the big fat panda.
He's been on the show.
He's been on the show. Some people, that was pretty early on. People are just not, we have lots of new listeners. He does a YouTube channel, so shout out to him.
Yeah.
So, not big fat panda. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we have to do things to kind of get our Disney fix when we're not in the parks. Even though we're pass holders, we just can't roll down to the parks this afternoon. So sometimes we have to make do.
Yeah.
And
deal with some stuff that's maybe local that feels like it, or go down to your local store, smell these candles from circa 1955. That was a free plug there. And, you know, really, there are those moments where you kind of need that sort of vacation away at home. And to have that moment, I think a lot of that to me has always been like with Tom or finding music or what was, you know, RIP, Mouse World Radio, something like that. But there are other things you can do. For me, I just, just a couple of days ago, I went to Rainforest Cafe and then to the Disney outlet that's in the same mall. And that's always a fun little like double dose of Disney Parks love right there.
I know, basically Disney Springs.
Well, not really.
Not at all.
No. It was actually pretty hellishly busy, so I'm going to say it was not like that. But typically we go on the weekdays, and my wife and I will go and bring the kids down, and we'll have dinner at the Rainforest Cafe, which I know the old guys hated that Rainforest Cafe. I'm a huge proponent of it.
Yeah, we actually, when Animal Kingdom first opened, I think we ate at Rainforest Cafe like four or five times.
It was the go-to.
We loved it. Because it was the only table there.
And I had my wedding rehearsal at that Rainforest Cafe in Animal Kingdom. So we have some connections there. We did our anniversary there a couple times with some of our friends who were part of the wedding.
I do love the breakfast at the Rainforest Cafe.
Never done it.
Fantastic Eggs Benedict.
They don't do that like at the other location.
No, but
like,
they do it at the one in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I think they do sometimes like on Easter. They'll do like breakfast with cha-cha. Well, my son loves the Rainforest Cafe. I like it. The girls, we went there for the first time this weekend. The girls loved it. They were like, they went crazy. You could tell they were just like, what is happening in this world? And then we went to the Disney outlet, which was slammed this time, but usually great. And they have a ton of Disney Parks merch that they put on clearance. So usually it's Disneyland stuff here, but that kind of gets us. I got a Madame Leota pair of ears for $1. Last time I was there, I bought like four of them.
Well, you get the same experience because no Disney attraction ends without a gift shop. So right. Just, you know, imagine you're getting off the your favorite Disney attraction, and there you are in the sea of...
Yeah, well, first you're at the Rainforest Cafe gift shop, which I never really shop at, and then over there. But so that's one of the things I do, and I do that locally pretty regularly. Like, I'd say once a month or so, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending if there's, you know, family in town or anything.
We've bought all of the cookbooks as they come out. They're always coming out with new ones. And so just...
Oh, yeah, I noticed that on your Facebooks and your Twitters.
Yeah, so just every now and then we'll just decide... a lot of times it's things that have kind of gone away, things that they've done away with. We're always making the Primetime Cafe meatloaf. There's a chicken from the Mexico Pavilion. What kind of chicken are we talking here? They stopped doing it when Disney kind of did the healthy thing. When they kind of went, you know, the heart was on everything. They started doing the healthy.
Right, yeah, like Tipsy Ducks in Love and Dole Whips are real
cheeseburger,
healthy.
Cheeseburger, yes. Fries,
everybody. Well, it's got chorizo sausage in it. So it's, you know, it's probably not the best. But, you know, there's ways you can cut some fat out of it. But anyways, we love doing that.
What is it? You didn't really explain it.
So it's like this chicken. It's got cheese and poblano peppers and onions. And then you mix in with the chorizo sausage.
Like a stuffed chicken? Or is it like a...
It's normally just like a chicken breast with a bunch of the sauce. And
on top. Like a
serve with rice. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sounds good.
You cut the rice and the sauce and it's actually pretty good for you.
Yeah. Well, and the chorizo sausage probably isn't the...
If you drain it well?
Yes.
Horrible.
Fat's not the devil.
Sugar
is the devil.
If you buy the dried, not the raw.
Okay. So you cook. So you cook Disney foods.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not something that really ever comes up in my house. Not really there.
You know,
if I could get the real Mickey waffles, I may.
And occasionally we'll go for our beloved peanut butter and jelly shake. We'll, you know, attempt to have that experience at home.
When Disney went healthy, you know.
With a peanut butter jelly milkshake?
Right.
Yeah.
Go up to Sonic has one, but you said it's pretty close. When I've had it, it was not.
First time I had it, it was the best thing ever. The second time I had it at Sonic, it was like... But the last couple times I've had a Sonic shake, they just haven't been...
Not a Sonic fan.
I don't do it that often, but I'm not against Sonic. If Sonic wants to sponsor...
I think it's subpar.
Compared to what?
Compared to like Mickey D's?
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't like Sonic food.
Oh, I like the food better at McDonald's,
like, but
for sure.
You got to give Sonic props for like a Route 44 cherry limeade.
I like the drinks and desserts. I go to McDonald's I go to McDonald's to get my Disney fill because, you know, they have one, the world's largest McDonald's.
That's not Disney. That's your Orlando.
Well, okay. Then it's the McDonald's is just right there on property. There is one, isn't there? Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of.
This is going to be a cop-out answer for me, but one thing I like to do when I kind of want to relive it is actually get a trip report from Riker. Just having the conversation, I like having conversations with Riker in general, but there's only so many like topics that I can cover with a four-year-old. So I'll be like, hey, Riker, tell me about the last time you went to Disney, and just hearing like through the wonder of the child's eyes, and like he always has some little insightful thing that he'll say that will blow your mind because he's a child. And he's like, well, and then he'll give me like a tip. Like a pro tip on how to like avoid something. Like, you can do this. Like, and so I don't know. To me, just having the conversations with folks, kind of what we do here when we just sit around and talk about Disney.
This is a big part of our.
This is a way to keep it alive for me. Is that it's like, oh well, I know once a week we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to be having to think about it, or maybe plan something, or look up something, doing some research. Whereas I get busy during the week and may not have time to necessarily just look up something. I know I'm guaranteed a little bit of a break, a little time out from the rest of the busy hustle and bustle, and I can think about and kind of enjoy Disney. And that's kind of one main thing I like doing.
Riker thinks this is all we do, by the way.
At work? Or
when I went to work yesterday, I was running late. He's like, buddy, I'm running late. He goes, oh, Uncle Will already podcasting? I was like, yeah, buddy, all right.
That's awesome.
Now, I'm shocked you don't Tipsy Ducks in Love at home. Like, you haven't. Have you tried?
That's a lot of steps.
I haven't. You know, I actually haven't really seen a recipe for it. I know that I would butcher it. You know, challenge accepted. I'll try that.
I emailed you when we talked about this idea.
Maybe you did. Maybe you did. And
it probably went into your spam folder.
There's a recipe for everything.
I do have your email address blocked, so I can't. I don't get emails from you. But
that's understandable.
I think that maybe I will try that. I think there's a little bit of me that if I can make it at home, and if it ends up being really good and like that, right. that will a little bit ruin it for me.
Because you like it being made by a person from China.
At the tea stand. Right. And if I'm... And that's something I look forward to getting.
Right.
And every time, like, I'm like, okay.
It's a moment for you.
If we're going through, I'm stopping at the tea stand. I don't care if it's 11:30, and as soon as they open, I'm doing it.
Maybe because it's so early on in your journey around the world. If it was something from later in the journey, you would.
Yeah, I mean, I like, I'm glad they haven't come up with a really good at-home churro yet.
right, yeah, I get that.
Because the microwavable churros just don't do the trick.
There was a churro cereal for a while that was pretty fantastic.
That's gross. Was that just Cinnamon
it's like
Toast
Cinnamon
Crunch?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
With like
which is my favorite.
Yeah. Shaped like little mini
churros.
Yeah. So it's like dog food. well, I mean, those are some ways I do. Also, I will confess that back in the day when you used to have to call the Disney dining line, mm-hmm. I would call and wait on hold and listen to the music.
You're a creeper. That's kind of weird.
That was pre-Mouse World Radio.
Logan's the only person, in the world.
No, they've only been doing online bookings for not that long. When you think about how long they've been doing bookings for dining online, it's been a couple years.
Time out. I want to go back to this. You might be the only person in the world that has called specifically to get put on hold. And he's showing me on his phone right now. It's on speed dial.
They don't play the music as much anymore, though. There you go.
Your call may be monitored or recorded. So I'd wait through this. Which of these dining options? I'll get
through this whole thing now.
Well, you're committed now.
Committed.
Let's go through.
Okay.
I don't know what I said. Yes.
This might be in Spanish.
Okay. Talk to an agent. My pleasure. Please remain on the line for the next available agent.
We're on hold now.
I heard Terry say Spanish. See, they don't do the music anymore. Gone.
Pointless to call.
It used to be always like kind of like the Stacy zippity doo-dah type stuff, and I always enjoyed that. But then when I much more prefer the My Disney Experience booking it on my phone now.
Well, all right.
I've officially creeped out. Well,
yeah, I'm a little worried about your well-being.
This was probably a good number of years ago.
Have you ever made a cocktail from Disney at home? Moving on. I wonder, I mean, is there a Dole Whip, like a similar yes. ice cream that's like a Dole Whip? Because I would actually probably make an adult whip before I would make a Tipsy Duck.
This brings us a great chance, because this was the first time that you had the adult whip was on this last trip.
Right, right.
So
because I don't get to Animal Kingdom that often.
Because it's the worst park. But beyond that, you can get the Dole Whip, if you have a... Which I mean, I guess people
you have
do.
A giant soft serve machine.
But I mean, they only have like little soft serve machines.
Yeah.
That you can buy the Dole Whip mix.
Could you buy, is there like an
pineapple
ice cream? Yeah, or like a pineapple sorbet kind of thing?
Probably. But the soft serve.
These are the next two things I'm going to research.
Okay.
So I can report back.
Hard work.
I'm going to make a Tipsy Ducks in Love. I'm going to find an ice cream that tastes like the Dole Whip flavor, and I'm going to make an adult whip at home.
Very nice. So we'll tell us about that. So I think we have a good little sample. So I think that gets to us. You know, I've been talking about music. Music was always a big bit for me. And my son knew the Disney music even before we went to Disney World the first time, which actually gives that as a good tip because it makes those like Small World and Tiki Room a little bit more enjoyable to the little kids because it's the songs they're familiar with. It's like watching their television show over again. So if you have a little kid, you know, you don't necessarily have to show them a video of the ride, but if they know the Tiki Room or they know, like I think Riker, the reason he loves Haunted Mansion so much is he knows Grim Grinning Ghost. So when it got to that point, he wasn't at all scared. He's like, oh, I love this song. And because, you know, raising him right. We've been talking all about how you can experience your Disney love and passion like a lot of our listeners have back home. When, you know, the dark times, when you're back home and it seems like the magic may be gone, but there's a great way to do it. You guys may have been familiar with Tom. Tom has been on this broadcast a few times, but it's been a couple of years and it was before we were even on the show. So to us, Tom, I'm excited to actually bought your first record because I was a listener of this show. So Tom Amin, welcome back to WDW Today.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back. It has been, I think, at least a couple years since I've been on.
I think so. But so people who aren't familiar with you, kind of maybe give them a little bit of a brief. What do they experience when they experience your music?
Well, I'm a pianist, first of all, so I play piano music, and I have a huge love of Disney. So I record a bunch of albums, but a couple years back I started to do some Disney music. So I redid a lot of the Disney theme park music. So songs you would hear on the rides, like Pirates of the Caribbean, all that kind of stuff, as solo piano songs. So I thought that might be kind of something different and see if people would like it. And so I did a couple albums that went over really well. So when you hear the music, you'll probably – what I hope that you take away is a great – unique arrangement of the song, but also is like a wink and a nod to the original,
right,
and to the people that wrote it.
That's why I really like your stuff. It's not like some of the traditional, you'd say cover albums that you'd find online, because, you know, I love like the Main Street Electrical Parade or some of those that have,
oh yeah,
that have like the flair of it, but you could put it on the background. You're having a dinner party with your non-Disney fans. It's still beautiful. And for a couple of them there, they may like, all of a sudden, 5 minutes in, go, wait a second.
I'm new to hearing about your stuff, and one of my favorite things that we've always listened to is we had a cast member friend that we got the old school Club 33 like piano music. So I'm excited that there's a whole catalog of stuff for me to listen to that's just piano, because it's fun to put on in the background.
Yeah, the Soarin' one I love too. You've done a lot of great stuff, but you're on here because you got something new for us.
Well, I've got a couple things I did. Magical Moments 2, which was done, I believe, last year, a couple years ago. That was my latest Disney album. But I also, last December, released a Star Wars album. So I decided to do a Star Wars treatment, a piano style to the Star Wars songs. Because, again, I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, of course. Exactly. And John Williams is actually the reason I'm in music, is because of his music is what inspired me as a kid to really get into piano and songwriting and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of wanted to do a tribute to him, but also I just have such a love for the franchise that I thought, let's try this and see if people like it.
Very cool. And I'm obviously a huge Star Wars fan. For a moment there, I thought you said, and John Williams is sitting right here with me, and I would have had an awesome moment.
Could you please put John on?
Yes. Yeah. Look, Tom, Mr. Tom, just go to Tom's website. But now, John.
I believe that's anyway, Mr. Williams to you.
Yes.
So true. I know he's just such a, you know, I mean, what can you say about John Williams? So I thought, let's try to get some of his stuff and try to do piano versions of it, see how they come out. And I also did one original piece I wrote for the album because I kind of wanted to put my own stamp on it, so to speak, and kind of give my own take on what would a Star Wars theme be if I wrote something. So I threw one of those in there. And that's actually the title of the album is Journey to the Stars. And that song is the original song on the album.
So, Tom, you mentioned that John Williams was your inspiration in a sense, but what's kind of your background? How'd you get into music in general?
Here's how it started. Again, it does tie back to John Williams because I had started taking guitar lessons. I think I was about 11 or 12, and I kind of liked it. It was okay. I was getting into it. And then I think it was during the summer, my parents took us to see Superman 2. Now, this I'm going back, so you're going to get – I'm a little bit older. So exactly. We saw Superman 2 at the theater, and I just remember that was the first time I really kind of like woke up and like to theme music and movies. I just heard that Superman theme, and I fell in love, and I came home and started sounding it out on the piano. Oh. And my mom came in it was all by ear. And my mom said, "How are you doing that?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm just hearing it and repeating it and blah, blah, blah." So that's kind of what started. And my mom said, "Do you want to take piano lessons?" I said, "Sure, I'll try piano." And then, of course, I fell in love with piano as I started to learn more about it. That's kind of how it all started, really.
Do you ever take this music on the road? Is there a chance that somebody we may have a Disney concert that you come out, or not even just Disney, all your works? Is this something that you're actively touring, or is it really just create these records for people?
I actually did two concerts, but it was here in Los Angeles. I'm based in Los Angeles, and there's a restaurant that I play at, and there's a jazz lounge upstairs. The restaurant's called Vitello's. It's here in Studio City. Mm-hmm. I've done three concerts up there, and two of them have been Disney to like premiere the album. So I did a whole Disney night of where I actually sang as well. I took my favorite songs. Yeah, because on the records, I usually just play, like on the albums. I don't really sing on the albums. I guess I should, but I don't. But on the concerts, I will. So I did like all those like classic like songs from Pete's Dragon. I did like Candle on the Water. I did Lavender Blue, just a bunch of old stuff mixed in with the theme park stuff. But as of currently right now, there is no tour. It's just me doing the stuff.
Well, I want to see you live, Terry.
So I know a lot.
I would love it.
I know a lot of kids, like when they're growing up, their parents kind of force them to like, you got to take piano lessons. But it sounds like for you, this was just something you kind of sought out and you really wanted to learn how to play an instrument other than just guitar.
I really loved it. And my mom, I asked my parents, even years later, I'd ask my parents, did I ever like, you know, make a fuss about practicing? And my mom said, no, you never, ever fussed. And you always went to practice on your own. She said, we didn't even have to ask you. You just went and practiced. So I loved the instrument from when I was like 12 years old. And I knew, somehow I just knew even that young that I had to practice to get better. Like I knew I just had to practice. And then I went through a couple teachers before I wound up with a professor that taught at the Cleveland Institute of Music, which is a really well-known classical school. And because I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. And so I took with him for about 4 or 5 years, and he was the one that really helped shape me into, you know, who I am today. And he taught me all about the classics and about how to play well and all this technical stuff. So I have to credit him with really helping me to fine tune, you know, and get better at piano. But yeah, I always loved it. I never had to ask to practice, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah, when it comes to here, yeah, that's awesome. When it comes to obviously these albums are bringing you on here before, and you've been on here before because of them. What was that, you know, inspiration for you? Were you going to the parks as a kid? Why did you end up taking? Because when you think of doing, you do some great Disney songs, some ones that everyone loves, but to do something a little bit more obscure, to do Soarin or do something like the Main Street Electrical Parade that is only really known by
going to the parks,
but going to the parks and also being like a hardcore fan that can remember those things was that. Was that part of your life growing up, or how did you get into the parks?
Well, we did start going to the parks when I was a kid, but a little bit later, I think I was about 11 or so. Mm-hmm. But then my parents would take us every year because Walt Disney World was where we went because we were from Ohio. So that was only like a 2-hour plane ride.
Right.
So we went in the summer. I remember one time we went over Christmas. We went in the wintertime, and it was so depressing to come home from Orlando.
Absolutely.
To like
I feel that every time.
Snow. Yeah, snow and the cold. I remember we were all depressed, but we would go down.
Wait, Cleveland and Orlando aren't the same in the winter?
No, they're not. Cleveland gets quite cold, and because there's a lake, we get lake effect snow there. So it was really, you could have some interesting winters there.
So what's your favorite attraction in Orlando?
I got to tell you, my favorite is Spaceship Earth, followed by Carousel of Progress, and those are my favorites in Orlando. Now, I have not been to Orlando in about 4 years, so I know there's new stuff there. I haven't seen the Haunted Mansion remodel, like the outside. You know how they added all that stuff to it?
Right, yeah.
There's a lot I haven't seen, but and I loved Test Track, and I have not been on the new one yet, which I'm dying to get on.
So you're telling me you have a record where I can get a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow? You've done that?
Yes, of course.
Perfect.
Of course, and now is the best time of your life.
Yes.
And do you remember World of Motion. Magic Journeys? I remember. I that's on one of my. I love that song.
I'm just what a was quick the question? How do you? Because those songs we were talking about some of these more obscure stuff. Magic Journeys.
I know.
How are you getting? How do you even find out who wrote that? You know, like how does that work?
That was the tricky part. I did have to contact Disney because I have a contact there that the guy's in charge of. Of like the publishing and stuff, so I had to say I try to find stuff on my own, but some of the stuff like you could find the Sherman Brothers and all that kind of stuff, but these obscure things, you're right, I didn't know who made it, you know, who is it represented by a publisher, like I had no clue. So I contacted Disney, and they were the ones that came back to me with, okay, this is blah blah blah. So and they would have me fill out all the paperwork for it.
That just made me like think, like I would have no idea where to start if I wanted to cover some of these songs because it's just not something you regularly hear. It sounds like a radio song. Well, that's really great, Tom. When it comes to how people can get in touch, how people can hear your music, how do you want them to reach out? How do you want them to connect with you?
You know, they could. My website is Tom Amin, and that's spelled AMEEN. TomAminMusic.com is my website. But you can also just, if you Google search my name, the music is on iTunes. It's on Google Play. It's on Amazon. You could get it anywhere. If the Disney stuff, now just so you know, are downloads only. But the Star Wars and my other albums have physical CDs. They'll on the website will link you to CD Baby to download, you know, to order physical CDs. But any iTunes is probably the best, you know, where most people get the stuff. But I love hearing from people. I love getting emails to say, like, what's your favorite or what do you think? Because it's just always – you never quite know, you know, when you're doing the stuff, how people are going to react to it. But so anytime, I mean, feel free to email me. I'd love to get feedback on what I've done.
Well, we'll connect you all with Tom. We'll put it up on our website and our social media as well. Now, Tom, any song, we're going to play a clip from a song, if you don't mind. Anything that you'd like to let us play out?
Oh, wow. Gosh, there's such. How about Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow?
There you go.
So that's what you. There you go.
That was for Terry. All right. Next time, though, hey, I want a Force Awakens record next. That's what I want. I need
that would be
I need sweet. The Jabba Flow. I need some of these other. I need the Rays theme. Come on. That's my next request. I'll be full on board for that one. And not that I'm not on board for this one, but I'll be excited because those new songs are great, too. Well, I appreciate you, Tom, for reaching back out whenever you got something else. Friend of the show. Love to have you. And thanks so much for being a part of the WDW Today fam.
Thanks so much, you guys. It's such a great pleasure to be here again. Thanks again. And thanks to everyone that's listening.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk soon. And we'll be right back with Listener Questions with Lynn. Let's take a quick break again and talk to you about our friends at Circa 1955. You've heard about them. We sold a lot of them for them. We sold lots of candles. And if you want the Disney World magic at home, you know, we talked about it briefly in there. But these Circa 55 candles, Will is smelling. Which one you got there?
I got the I Want a Churro one, which originally I think we talked about how, man, we wish it was a little bit more churro-y. Nope. Smelling it again. I feel like this one's pretty spot on. So.
And they're great. If you want to have that Disney magic at home, Will's stuffing it in my face. Hold on. Very nice.
Stuffing a churro in your face.
Yes. That did actually smell like a churro.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe it was our senses were like overdone.
Yeah.
If you want to have this experience like Will and I, or have Will stuff a candle in your face, all you need to go is go to the website, circa1955.com. It's a subscription service for candles. You get two candles each month, each Walt Disney World themed, stuff that you can experience, stuff you have experienced, stuff that's gone now, that really you can relive that Disney magic right back at home.
Get it for the special lady in your life.
Yes, what I've been saying is we're only a few minutes months from Christmas.
We're only a few minutes from Christmas and only a few months from Valentine's.
I'm slur crazy today. A few months from Christmas and even from Valentine's, you could save up your subscription. And then, like, gift them the subscription, the rest, and you could give them, though, you know, six.
Make great gifts. In fact, I know for a fact one of the scents coming your way is the famous Dole Whip that we've talked about in this episode already.
Very nice. I look forward to having that and smelling that. The Dole Whip is coming. It's coming to the next month's shipment, we're saying.
Box number two.
Oh, that's an exclusive here, folks.
Get in. Get in while you can.
And actually, a lot of you did. I want to thank all of you for supporting our sponsors, and thank you so much. It really helps us a lot, because if you support them, they continue to support us. So again, that website, circa1955.com. Now back to the show with Listener Questions with Lynn.
Of my
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
Eric wants to know, will Animal Kingdom be offering a nighttime experiences after Labor Day? There's no Jungle Book show or tree lighting shows listed on touring plans after Labor Day.
Yeah, this is interesting. So the Jungle Book Alive with Magic show is only shown, I think, on the schedule until September 5th. And it's an open question as to what happens next. I'm hearing that they are making progress on Rivers of Light. And I think they're kind of holding.
Hoping that happens.
You know, the thing is with Rivers of Light, what I've heard is they'll put Rivers of Light on the schedule after it's been released for 2 weeks without and run for 2 weeks without any problems. So we will all know that Rivers of Light is coming before it's on the schedule. Let's put it that way.
All right.
But now we've just got some rolling lead time.
Yeah, so sometime after September.
Lyle is... That's how you say his name, Lyle.
All right, got it.
Lyle wants to know, I currently have fast passes secured for 50-plus prior to arrival because we have reservations on property. We have been thinking... Oh, right. So those are days.
Okay.
I thought it was, I'm like, that's the biggest party ever.
I thought it was like, is this a senior citizen?
Yeah,
like
I was, okay.
Well, senior citizens.
Lynn can read right through us. So why don't you start up?
Right. I currently have fast passes secured for the 50 days prior to arrival because we have reservations on property. We have been thinking about staying off property to get more live-in space. If we cancel our reservations, what happens to our fast passes?
Ooh.
That's an interesting question.
Did we find a glitch in the Matrix?
No. It's an interesting question. This is a Mike Scabetta question. Uh-huh. My sense is that the fast passes would be canceled.
Yeah, logically that's true.
Yeah.
They should be. You know, whether they're not or not, or whether you're messing around with the system, that's going to be the question. Yeah. But Scabetta, if you know, tweet us. I'm sure you will.
No, I'm almost positive they would be because everyone would essentially be making a reservation
and
canceling.
Yeah, and it's tied to it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's take some from the Twitterverse. Terry?
Brian says, my family is going to Walt Disney World in February and staying at an all-star vacation home. Any tips on driving in and around Walt Disney World?
I mean, it depends on which all-star vacation home, but there's that, is it Sherbeth Road? The thing that connects 192 to the backside of Disney property by the Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, use that. Oh, yeah. It's a great...
Google Maps is a great helper. Yeah. It depends on where you're staying. I stay mostly either in Reunion or out in the Windsor worlds. Sometimes you can go back behind like Celebration. You can get to World Drive, but especially on if you're going Reunion. If you're in Reunion, there are great ways, really easy ways to just get right off. There are toll roads. There's some toll roads you have to pay, but you'll be avoiding all of 192 in that madness. Yeah. Avoid 192 if you can. If you can't, it's really not horrible. It's just the difference of your trip is really determined upon that. If there's no if 192 is clear, you'll be there in 10 minutes.
You know? If you're using an app on your phone like Google Maps or whatever, you're great. If you are using like the signs to navigate, I will give you this tip that you want to stay away from being near the Disney buses, because the way the signs are on property, if you get like visually like stuck behind a bus and can't, you're going to get lost. You're going to get looping around the resorts because there are some times where there's a turn for something that there's literally just one sign for, and it's on the side of the road. It's not above you. So if the bus is between you and the sign, you're going to miss it altogether.
And I would even say the opposite of that. Google Maps has failed me many, many, many times leaving either the Contemporary or resorts in that Magic Kingdom area. Just gets totally screwed up. I've ended up going back like the backstage area of Disney.
Yeah, I was going to say it makes you turn right out of the Contemporary.
You turn right out of the Contemporary every time. And my wife gets so mad. She's like, you knew you were supposed to go that way. I was like, I know. I'm just following it. It's just then you end up like in no man's land in areas you're not supposed to go to.
Laurel does the same thing. She's like, why did you listen to the computer? I'm like, because it's a computer. Like,
you've been here 1,000 times. You know where you're going. But that always happens to me. So be conscious of that. And be careful with your Google Maps. Getting there is a little bit easier than getting home sometimes from an all-star vacation home. If you can see those signs, just kind of trust them a little bit that they're going to get you to 192 or wherever you need to go fairly decent, or at least get beyond the Magic Kingdom gate, or you'll end up like Fort Wilderness and Golden Oak, and then you'll end up, like you said, backstage in these little trailer areas.
You'll end up at this, like, is it Target or a Walmart if you go back enough and you're like, I didn't know this was here. That's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. It's very similar it's a lot of times you get plopped out by, what's the Grand Cypress? I'll end up over there. So just be careful when you're driving when it comes
nice
to that.
Nice villas over at Grand Cypress.
Yeah, they were a little nicer in the 90s.
Well, actually, we were also like 5.
Yeah, they're probably 10. Nice now. I don't know. I haven't been, but I have a feeling in the 90s they were great. All right. Hopefully that gave you a question. Just be careful and you'll be fine. Other than that, expect pretty much if you're at Reunion, which is one of the furthest ones away, 20-minute drive. If you're less than that, I mean, sometimes even less. So it's not bad at all. All right. Next question is to me, so I guess I'll read it. Colm, it's not to me, but I'm the next person. Colm B on Twitter said, I've been reading about toddlers sharing off an adult's plate. What are your experience of this? This is my first time with a toddler. Is that something that isn't, I mean, you're not going to be able to do that at the ones where you prepay or the buffets or anything, but because that won't, they'll still charge you. But for regular restaurants, I don't know if they, is that, I'm sure it's frowned upon, but is that something that's a problem? Anybody know?
I haven't dined with a toddler.
I have, but you usually get him, or get the kids food. So
from the children's menu.
I don't think it would be a big problem unless it's... Don't expect, though, to go to one of those. Don't expect to go to Chef Mickey's and not pay. Now, you will not pay for an infant. When my girls went, we made a reservation for them, but it's $0.
When do they go from being infant to toddle?
I'm not
sure.
When do they learn to toddle?
I don't know.
When they can walk?
Yeah, maybe when they can walk. I'm not sure.
I mean, I figured that, but what age is that?
I think probably...
Who's to say?
Seven.
I would say... Well, they start making a difference between... They start changing, I think, around... I mean, three is when they start charging you to get in the park, so...
Is that a toddler?
Yeah. Sure.
That's a toddler, yeah. All right. That's a toddler.
A toddler officially is 1 to 3 years old.
But yeah, so in Disney, I think you have to pick infant or one and older. You have to select when you're even making these reservations. All right, so Will. It's from Twitter. And Will's breathing.
C. Bartoli has a, hey guys, quick question.
All right.
When you use your first three fast passes at Epcot, can you use your fourth rolling fast pass to be from the first tier?
You can. It's all the restrictions are off.
So as long as it's available, you can take it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As long as it's available. Yeah.
Great to know. I put that one in there specifically because I didn't know, and I thought that'd be a good thing for people to know. All right, and Terry, we're almost done. Lynn. We're almost done.
This is the best name ever.
Bro Dameron wants to know.
Bro Dameron, my favorite.
Does touring plans ever suggest hitting a morning extra magic hours, then hopping to a different park to use Fast Pass 3?
There. That's, and he didn't spell it wrong, Terry.
I just wanted to be fast. That's Fast Pass 3 is the new band in Canada.
No. So essentially, do you ever suggest doing morning extra magic hours and then going to a different park for your fast passes?
We would say it's probably a good idea in certain circumstances. I think we think the Magic Kingdom is the park that makes best use of morning extra magic hours in terms of what you can get done in that first hour. So if you want to go to like Magic Kingdom morning extra magic hour, then hop to another park, Studios, Animal Kingdom, something like that, that's open, you know, relatively late, or Epcot, then I think that's a good idea. And I would definitely save my three fast passes for the park that you're hopping to, because if you do it right for the morning extra magic hour at the Magic Kingdom, the waits aren't going to be more than 20 minutes for anything that you get on in that first hour.
All right. I have a quick question, and then I have a quick question that actually came in, but it's another one that came up for me, because Lynn, you're here, and I'm going to use you for my advice. What time should I leave the Contemporary using the monorail to get to the Epcot if I want to get there for Rope Drop or close
you're
to
going,
it?
You're going to change.
Yeah, I'm
going
to change.
Yeah, you're going to change it to TTC.
Yeah. So what time should I leave? Like an hour before? Half hour before?
So let's say. So we want you there about half an hour in advance. Let's say it's – worst case scenario, it takes you 30 minutes to do it by monorail. So, yeah. So if you leave an hour before it, you should be there in plenty of
time. It is Frozen opening at Rope Drop now?
Yeah, it is. It's opening at Park Open. So even morning extra magic hours, it's open.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Just curious if I had to wait till the old 11 o'clock Rope Drop. All right. This comes in from Jenny. When will resort Christmas decorations go up? So resort ones, not necessarily, I guess, park, but resort Christmas decorations.
So I think the first Christmas party is November 8th.
Yeah, it's usually a full week after the last Halloween party.
Yeah. Oh, so the 7th then. So
7th or 8th. Yeah, somewhere in that range. Yeah.
I would expect the Christmas decorations to be up that week, the week of November 7th.
All right. And you think that's the majority of it, or just in the parks?
Most of it should be up by the 7th. It's such a huge moneymaker for the resorts, and so many people love the decorations that, you know, frankly, if they waited to the 14th, I would be surprised. I just don't think they're going
to. Yeah, why would they? I plan on doing this year. I'm going to try my best to do the last Halloween day. I'm going to go in like for the last Halloween night, potentially, because I'm supposed to be there, and then stay that full week and see the transformation from Halloween to Christmas. I don't know. That's always been some weird, like, bucket thing. I want to be there.
Isn't there also the food and wine, the wine and dine run is that weekend?
Hey, oh, great. Hey,
next
fun.
Question.
Oh, next one. Question. Wait, yep.
Yeah. Right. Which I do want to preface this whole thing with, I know you're supposed to book in advance, like a lot in advance, but it's absurd how many people are thinking about Christmas decorations now.
It's July.
It's hot as all get out outside. Yeah. The last thing I'm thinking about is Christmas decorations.
It is Christmas in July.
It's Christmas July, the day we're recording.
It's not a thing.
David, it is on QVC.
David Kirsch wants to know, we're heading down for Wine and Dine weekend.
There you go.
Will Christmas decorations be up, and what's the best way to fully enjoy a race weekend? We are WDW vets, but have never done a race weekend.
So you're saying yes, they will be up. They should be, majority of
probably,
them.
Probably, yeah.
And I've been there on a race weekend, but not as part of a race. So what do you think? Any tips?
The thing that you don't want to do is be on your feet for the entire day before the race.
Yeah.
Speaking from experience. I think the after-race parties are a lot of fun because it's rare that you get a chance to be in the parks that late. Are they moving it to is it a daytime race now? The one and done. I think it's a daytime.
Sure, I'm going to say
starts at 5:30 a.m. on Sunday,
yeah.
November 6th.
So it defeats that.
We're exactly 100 days away, 7 hours, 59 minutes, and 53 seconds
for all of us that are running
as of this recording.
Yes. So now you can go back and find out when. 3 months ago.
Yeah, the big thing is stay off your feet and. Some of the restaurants will do special menus, like the Epcot resorts might do special race menus, pasta, carb loading type things. That's always fun. But the big thing is that, you know, just enjoy the race itself and walking around with your medal afterwards and stuff like that. I think those are the big things to do.
Stay off your feet. The new Gloria Estefan musical. Get off your feet. Way worse. It's don't Gloria Estefan now. All right.
Whatever you do, don't be on your feet.
Yeah. Stay off your feet. All right, Terry.
Janet wants to know, what do you think they'll do to celebrate the 40th anniversary?
45th.
Hey, I'm just reading the question.
I know, Janet, you're wrong.
At the Magic Kingdom, will they do anything like parades, extended hours, special guests? October 1st falls on our vacation day, and I'm excited.
Oh, you should come to DLP Fest.
The night before. Yeah, we're going to be partying it up over in Claremont.
To get the celebration started early.
Yeah, and we'll probably be around too that day. But anything, have they even announced other than merchandise anything yet, right?
No, and I think it's going to be relatively minor. Number one, Disney doesn't want to celebrate the age of the parks anymore. They're getting away from attaching a number like 50 or 55 because they think kids think it's old.
It's old.
And not new. The other thing is, this is not a major milestone. Like for the 50th, you know, I would expect Disney to do, something huge, right, with, you know, new rides and, you know, this, there might be a small ceremony, lots of merch, maybe some cupcakes. Yeah. You know, that's what I expect.
So just something little, something fun. To touch on that birthday thing, it was just interesting. When I worked at Nickelodeon, which will show my age because that was like 14 years ago, but it was the 25th anniversary of Nickelodeon. We had built up for months the 25th anniversary, and they change it the last day to Nickelodeon's big birthday because they're like, oh crud, kids will not like the idea of Nickelodeon being 25 years old. And so it is an interesting, you know, kind of mind twist. For the Disneyland folks, it's a little different because they're so enamored in nostalgia. When you go there, it's Walt everywhere, and it feels very much that way. Disney World, I could see that being a little bit different. Like, who wants to go to a 45-year-old theme park? When you just hear it that way, that doesn't necessarily sound great. All right.
Right.
Will.
No,
that was me. Oh, you started looking, so I wasn't sure.
No, I was just looking at the paper.
All right, we only got two more left. Peter. Oh, Peter from Chicago. All right, can I buy my AP and get the room discount before activating the AP? I'm trying to cover as many trips as possible with it.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So does he just
show the AP when you get there?
Okay. So it just should be linked to his
account. You can put account, it in your Disney experience and start,
or connect with a travel agent like off to Neverland. All right, and finally,
Amanda Milton wants to know, any recommendations or pointers for a New Year's Eve trip?
Some of this already, I'm sure.
Which
stay within walking distance of the park you're going to visit.
Oh,
all right,
That's
a great one. I would suggest go to Medieval Times because I did that one New Year's Eve. And we actually did – there's two shows in Medieval Times. Just quick. I'm being completely sincere when I say this. There's two shows. We did the early show, Medieval Times, then drove over. And I know you're not really – it's a lot harder to park now, but this was many years ago. We parked over near the Wedding Pavilion, went out on there, watched the fireworks from the Grand Floridian, and had a great time. And it was an awesome experience. The New Year's Eve at Medieval Times is a blast, especially if it's all adults.
Do they say – it is about to be the year 1616.
Well, when I was there, they didn't acknowledge that it was New Year's, but they were, other than like they talked about it, and the black and night white, the black and white, the black and white night one, because it's like New Year's Eve colors.
Right.
And then
they do that on holidays.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
The green night, the bad guy will win.
Right. They do like a balloon drop and a bunch of stuff. Again, I'm not suggesting it's anything close to Disney. What I'm suggesting is it's a great thing to do during the day or the early evening to stay out of Disney for a little bit if you're not going to go in the parks for New Year's Eve.
We actually arrived on New Year's Day this year, and it was fantastic. Because it was the break between the holidays and that first marathon weekend, that there was a great time to be there. It was mass exiting out of the parks. It was a fantastic time to be there.
People were still asleep in the parks at rope drop.
Really?
No, Lord.
Oh, I was gonna say. I was like, I'm trying to stay in the parks, you know, one entire night after it's closed to see what goes on, but.
Like my brother-in-law that slept on Tom Sawyer Island until they caught him.
Hold on. I've never heard the story because that's what I was planning on doing.
Because I texted him when we were talking about the other time, and he said, yeah, pretty much he went on Tom Sawyer Island. Him and his girlfriend were there. He fell asleep, and multiple hours later, it was late. Like he said, it was a good 2-3 hours after close. Someone was pretty quick to say, hey, get out of here, and they escorted him off. He didn't tell me. I've asked him twice how they got him off the island, but I believe they figured out a way. And that was his. He didn't even mean to. He was.
How did they know he was there?
I think they did a sweep of it.
But was he like?
Oh, he wasn't hiding. He was like out chilling out, and I think he had fallen asleep.
Lynn is going in camouflage.
Right. I think it'd be different if you're hiding. But he was just, I think, chilling on like the beach area thing there, whatever you call it.
Yeah. My question, the last time I was on Tom Sawyer Island, which was not just last trip, but the trip before that, I actually looked for things like infrared sensors or motion detectors in the foliage.
I look forward to that.
Much like the very thin bacon. Lynn gives more ideas.
Yeah, is this like the zombie apocalypse? Were you preparing?
But this is real. That's the difference.
This is. Were you preparing in case that's a possible place to stay?
You know, I'll just say at this point, this entire episode's probably going to be entered into evidence at some point. So I should stop talking.
All right, Lynn. Well, thank you so much. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. What a great little nice interview, little nice conversation, Mr. Tom.
Yeah, I really was fascinated to hear kind of his backstory. And even, what kid is like, I don't mind practicing piano. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
My son's in karate and he's already quit. So, he's like a ninja. He's like, he loves being a ninja. He's like, we took him to karate. He's like, not really. No.
You don't want to have to work.
He did ask to do professional wrestling. So I looked it up. There's the Wild Samoans Training Academy for kids in Claremont, Florida. Home of...
Oh, DLP Fest.
I wish that was planned.
It was not.
It was totally not. Actually, in Mineola, Florida, which is pretty much the same thing. De Los Puertos, obviously, come on out. Join us. I'm just going to plug it right here. Great bands. You already heard us talk about it. I'm not going to bother you too much with it. Other than we really want to see you guys. If you're holding out to buy your tickets, please don't. Just go ahead and buy your tickets. Let us know. Let us know. We all want to personally meet you and say, hey, it's going to be a lot of fun. De Los Puertos, dlpfest.com to get your tickets. And we look forward to seeing you out there this September 30th.
We'd love to hear from you guys. We talked about how do you get your Disney fix when you're not a Disney. We want to hear what you guys do. So be sure and when we put this up on Facebook, comment on the post, when we tweet about it. We want to hear from you guys. What are you doing at home?
Yeah, make this a two-way conversation.
Are you making food? Are you having a Disney movie night on the lawn? Are you recreating Chip and Dale's backyard sing-along? We want to hear about
it. I have the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse in my bonus room.
You really did.
I have a Peruvian mascot maker, so he just makes me all the latest costumes. They don't look
Logan,
quite
Logan
right.
Logan does meet and greets with himself.
And if you want a bootleg looking Mickey Mouse, I've been talking about Times Square. Like, it's a step up.
It's like sad Mickey is what I call it.
No, the rough ones are, but he has some that are very. Like, I'm not joking. I wish I was. I can hook you up with mascots, custom made.
I know a guy.
I got a mascot guy in Peru.
Got a guy.
His stuff is actually pretty awesome.
I'm sure there's regardless, like trade violations.
Absolutely. I've actually never bought any except for my own characters. So. Which makes me sound like I dress up like a mascot costume. They were for specific things. Will and I owned a basketball team. One was for our laughing room thing. Never mind. All right. Special thanks to Circa 1955, the great candles. We talked about it during the break. Make sure your home smells like Walt Disney World, brings you back just like you're there. You can close your eyes, and maybe one day. I've thought about this in the Rainforest Cafe, which is going to show them crazy. You close your eyes, you open your eyes, and you're actually there. Like you've had transportation. like somewhere in time.
So many things that make you sound crazy today, but that tops it.
Yep, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for today's show. Two couple quick requests. I'm going to throw this out there at the end of the show, too. Terry made a request. I'm going to make a couple requests. I'd like to hear from you. If you have a trip report and you would like to share it for something, you'd like to come on and do some audio, I'm just going to tease this here. I want to hear from you. Reach out to WDW today. That's either you can do it through our Twitter, our Facebook, or just message me personally on Facebook. I'm open to talking with you guys. And if you're interested in that, especially if you have a unique perspective, let me know, because I have an idea I'm working on. I'd love your help. We want this to be a two-way conversation.
And I mean, since we're all making requests, I'm going to request something from circa 1955. I want a sweaty crowds scent. Because you know what? That's what I think of most when I'm at...
Just body odor.
You want that under the...
They probably sell that Harry Potter World.
Yeah, it's like...
With that Green under God poncho beans. Smell.
Yeah, it's like the Bertie Butts, whatever there.
Yeah, the beans.
The beans, yeah.
Every flavor beans.
Every flavor beans. That's going to do it for today's show. I hope you guys had fun. Let us know again all those things that Terry said, all the things that I said. Have a blast today. Have a good week. We're not going to be a bonus show this week, I don't think, because this show didn't go 3 hours long. And we will see you on the next show.